We've been talking about revival now, and a thing that's been stirring in my heart all week long, just over and over, was to just go to a couple passages and read those and challenge us up in this. Revival is very critical, and as we've stated, you can go ahead and pull that up, as we've stated, we are the revival that we're waiting for. And I have found that in so many people, and even in myself, it's becoming more of a fight to stay revived, to stay encouraged, because we get to looking at so many different things, and we get to focusing on so many things. But I said this last week, Jesus did not save us from the world, but he saved us for the world. You're here to make a difference and an impact. And I like Sam's picture of the light and the flow around it. Listen to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. It says here, fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem the other better than himself. And let each of you look not out for your own interest, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. When Jesus came to the earth, he came with you in mind, not him in mind. He came to go to the cross and hang on the cross and die for your life. And then when he left, he didn't just do that little bit of a work for your soul, but he sent back the power of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and to lead you and guide and direct you, as we will see in just a few minutes. And I believe that as we move forward in the whole idea and the whole concept, that the key to personal revival and our community revival revolves around what Jesus spoke about in the book of Acts and what he did. And actually, he spoke about it in the book of John. And I'm going to do this in reverse, so you're going to have to put your thinking caps on this morning. I'm going to do it quick and in reverse. I'm going to read some verses, and we're going to move through this because I think this is critical for each and every one of us to understand. Some of us, and I think it was mentioned this morning, we try to do stuff on our own. And God says, no, 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 you're missing it. I want you to enjoy what I will do through you. I want you to enjoy what's happening. It's almost like I've put my empowerment inside of you, and you have your eyes that you can visualize and watch, and you have your mouth that you can speak forth, and you have your ears so you can hear from God and speak forth the powerful word of God and release his power and his revival wherever you go. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Acts, isn't it? They came out of the upper room. Jesus met with a bunch of people for 40 days after he was raised from the dead. He came back. He walked on the earth for 40 days and met with people. He said, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. He met with whole crowds of people. He says, now, he told them all, go to the upper room. Well, only 120 went, but the 120 that went were very happy that they went. They were thrilled that they went. And so they were committed to this thing. So they went there, and when they got up there, and they waited on him, his promise came to them. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Would you agree with this? If there is a revival happening, it has to be by the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. See, it has to be by him. It's not by might or power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. That was an Old Testament prophetic word. And so when we look at the whole process, let me just give you a brief thing here. We call it the Godhead from the very beginning, because in the beginning it says, in the beginning God, and the word is a word that represents all three of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think you have that on there. Do you have that up there? Are we okay? And I want you to see the time zone, because this is important, I think, for us to understand. The Father, who's called God, had the plan. God dominates the Old Testament. Everything was about Father, 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 Father. The name Father is the most used name for God that there is in all of Scripture. Father, Father, Father. And so he dominates the Old Testament. Then we come to the Son, who's Jesus, who paid the price. And he dominated about 33 years of his life on the earth. And that was considered the time slot of the Son. When he left, he made some promises that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, which is called the Christ, as you read about it in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, and he dominates from the resurrection to the very last day. He's the one working right now in our lives. Most people think of the Holy Spirit as just a urge or a cloud or something just floating around or drifting around. And I want to say to you today, it's not any of that. It's a person. It's a person of the Godhead. And somehow he's able to live inside of every single one of us. That's just God. That's just God. He's just that big. He's able to do that. He's able to fill us with himself and work in us and work through us as a person. So he's inside of you as a person, which means we talked about the blood speaking. The Holy Spirit speaks also. And he comes to live inside of us to try to get us to get in a right relationship and connection with the Father, because he will be the revival inside of us. That's his portion. That's his part. He's the Christ, the anointed one. And he's the one working in us now. So let's go now to Acts chapter 1. And this will be up there on the screen so we can get through it. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, would you say, began both to do and to teach. So he just got things rolling. He got things started. I said last week, there's no amen at the end of the book of Acts. He just got things going. All these things he began for us. He says, listen, I want to show you guys how this works. And as you know, if you follow his life, if you follow Christ's life and all of his words, everything that's written in red in your Bible, if you have a red letter edition, it all has to do with him doing the will of the Father. How many would say amen to that? He was always giving credit. I don't do anything, he said. Actually, I don't do anything except for what the Father says. So he was in this relationship with God that he was modeling that you and I can have today because of what Christ did on the cross and what he gave us after the cross. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he both began to do. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up after he through the Holy Spirit, everything he did was about the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles to whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so if you're taking notes and you want to write down this verse, just write down Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. He talks about the fact that he's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit being given to everyone, and he says this is to all your children and to every generation. This is for everybody. He introduces the Spirit, and then he confirms this isn't just for the days that the apostles lived. This isn't just for the days shortly after Jesus, and now it's no more, but this is for all generations, for all of us, to have the person of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Matter of fact, I find for me personally, when I am in conversation with God and I'm hearing God's voice, it is through the Holy Spirit that happens. How many can say amen to that? You know, sometimes we sit down and we start hearing conversations in our head, okay? And if you're not crazy, it's potentially the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, if you're crazy, I'm going to give you an exception to the rule. But it's usually the Holy Spirit just trying to talk to us and trying to communicate to us and trying to get us used to hearing the voice of God by Spirit, by His Spirit. And he goes on, therefore, verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Yeah, here they are. Jesus is sharing his heart. And what do these guys do? They draw back to who's going to be elected. President. Are you going to restore the kingdom back? I mean, just dive into this natural thing. And I'm not dogging the elections here or you, but that's what they did. But listen to what his response was. Listen to what his response says. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but, I love it, but You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. So he interrupts them. They're immediately wanting to go in this amazing day, going back to some natural thinking. Ooh, what about the kingdom? And he immediately says, no, you need to get back here and understand I have a power that I want to put within you that's greater than everything that goes on around you. And it will be, I believe. I know you may have a challenge with this, but it will be the church arising. Let God arise. That's going to scatter the enemies more than anything else. It will be him. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I think it's important for us today, if I'm going to experience revival, I need to have the experience of the person of the Holy Spirit. I need to have received him and learn now, how do I communicate with the Holy Spirit? How do I walk with the Holy Spirit? How do I be led by the Spirit? How does all of this happen and not neglect that? And maybe I'm just speaking from my own personal experience. When things get really hot and heavy out there in the world and you start watching it, and pretty soon you're checking all the news stations to see what's going on and trying to stay up on all that, pretty soon you're not really praying anymore. You're just thinking. And your mind is filled with the stuff. And they say today that we listen and have access and listen to more stuff than probably every generation before us in just a matter of a day. Isn't that amazing? We have access to that much information. That much information. It's like, wow, how in the world? But that's what we face against. And so my challenge for us this morning is, if I'm the revival that I am waiting for, how close am I to the Holy Spirit right now? How close am I to him? When was the last time I would say to you and be able to say to you, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me? Now, my experience is this. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's not just a thought. I think it's attached to a little bit of a feeling, too. I think you kind of start sensing his presence. You start knowing that, wow, somebody's here with me in my time that I've set apart. Somebody's here and trying to speak with me. And I almost said communicate with me, but that would have sounded a little bit spooky, wouldn't it? Sound like a sci-fi movie or something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that if the Holy Spirit is a person, he has a voice, then he wants to speak to you. I will not live by bread alone, but I will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Listen to this here. John 16:12. I still have many things to say to you. This is Jesus before he leaves. He's training his disciples. Of all the things that he says just before he's going to leave, let's listen to what he says and then evaluate our own place in this. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, personal pronoun, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me, and he will take care of what is mine, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said he will take of mine and he will declare it to you. Can that be any clearer about how much he really wants to come and communicate to us and how much we really need to have that? And we need to get away from a surface Christianity where I've memorized a scripture and so I can quote them all the time and, you know, that type of thing. And let it begin to take us a step deeper into the very presence of the living God, where I'm literally so enveloped in that I'm beginning to hear his voice. And it's not just a guesswork. And can I just tell you right now, there's a lot of claims for hearing God's voice. I'm looking through the website yesterday on what different political views there are among Christians. Oh my goodness. Which way do we go? It's out there. I mean, there's all kinds of things flying around out there that people are believing. But I'm just going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is a clear voice for you. And He really wants to come and He wants to grab a hold of you, no matter how long you've been a Christian. And maybe sometimes if you've been a Christian a real long time, you might need to hear it more. God, where's your voice? God, where are you at? When was the last time I was moved in my emotions? When was the last time I was moved? It's really your spirit, but that's like affecting your emotions. When was the last time I really felt the Holy Spirit move inside of me and begin to commune with me and begin to connect with me and begin to open up His heart to me and begin to reveal to me things? I have found personally, my experience is that when you step into that place, when you believe you're a son or a daughter and you believe He will speak to you and that the person of the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, He doesn't talk to you about the politics. I'm telling you, what He's doing is He begins to unfold His plan to you for the world, because He's not up there thinking about who to vote for. He's up there saying, I got this amazing plan that's going to save the world, and I got this amazing people that will be the ones that do it. And how can I get them to hear my voice so they can begin to walk this thing out and hear this thing every day and begin to see it explode just like we saw in the book of Acts? Does this make sense? It's just a different mindset. Sometimes, you go to prayer wanting to get an answer for something. And you wonder, well, why didn't I hear God? He didn't want to talk about that. Quite frankly, He had something greater to talk to you about. Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Just for a moment, bow your heads. I felt so strongly this week, over and over, He just kept saying, go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. And then He said, share it. And let the power of His word and His spirit be released in the heart of every person here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're here, God. Would you just quote some famous people in the Bible when they said, here am I, Lord? Would you just say that? Just, Lord, here am I. Jesus.
Holy Spirit, burn like a fire. burn like a fire, all consuming, consume me, consume me here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your story, your story, for your glory, oh Holy Spirit, burn like a fire, all consuming, consume me here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your story, for your glory.
I just want to take a moment right here. I feel like the Lord wants us to just forget about what is happening around us with the politics and the issues of today's world. Those are just distractions to keep us from the mission. And God is just wanting to call us higher. It says in his words that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. God has a bigger plan happening in this moment in history, and we don't want to be distracted with what's happening in this natural realm. And so God is just calling us to just join him in this story of his glory, that God is going to do something good, that God is good, his promises are sure, he's faithful, and we just need to submit to him and just put our eyes back on Jesus, put our eyes back on his kingdom and what we can do, putting his kingdom first. That's the message of today, is that don't put your eyes on the story of the world. Put your eyes on the story of heaven.
Yes, yes.
God has been writing a story since the beginning of time. And so he's not caught off guard by anything that's happening in the world today. He's not caught off guard by any shaking. He's still in control. God is still on the throne. In fact, it says that he's seated on the throne, which means that he's comfortable, that he's resting in his own authority. God's not up in arms or standing up or stressing out. And so we as his children, we don't need to be stressing out. We don't need to feel like we're not in control, because God is in control. And he's just inviting us into his story. And so I just want to sing this again, of just singing for the Holy Spirit to come into us and to burn like a fire, to join his story, all for his glory. Sing, burn.
And oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire, all consume me, consume me here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your story, for your glory.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you this morning for being here. Thank you for confirming in our hearts, God, your heart, your thoughts, your desire. I pray for every person here this morning, God, that your voice has been coming clearer and clearer to each one, or maybe just an acknowledgement of the lack of your voice would come clear, the lack of the encounters that we read about so often in the scriptures and that you desire to have with each one of us today, as personal encounters. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. I pray for every person here to tap into that resource and that power and that might that can only come from you. And we thank you for it. We do thank you for our nation and for what we stand for. We ask you to continue to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just make this one statement and then be done. The greatest times in church history have been the worst times in church history. You just think about that for a minute. Noah was facing a flood, but was the greatest thing, because you're here today because of what he did. Abraham was taking his son to the top of the mountain, and that had to be one of his worst days, but it became one of his greatest days. I think about Jesus being on the cross for 3 days. You wonder who that was for, don't you? He's in there just waiting, letting his disciples, his followers realize, think, ponder, what in the world? And then up from the grave he rose. It was the best day, worst day, best day.